Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Off-Centered Outdoors Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Dockstetter, along with my partner in crime, as always.
The, as usual, barefoot animal stuff and midget moron from Ojai.
Chuck Testa himself.
I'm going to leave off the other insults I had while I was gone the other week. It gets too long and I can't barely say my regular intro.
Yeah, there's only so many things you can say.
Right.
So how you been this week?
It's been a little tough week. I don't know. I got back from last week and to the whirlwind and hadn't really, you know, like I said, processing Travis's loss is just going to take time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was so distracted with, you know, everything. And then everything reminds me of him. For one thing, I don't know what he was doing, but he had, I can't even remember what we were taking apart, but everyone, one was a star screw.
Yeah.
And one was a regular one. And then I was doing something, and there's a regular one and a star one, and I'm like, damn you, Travis. Yeah. You know? That just shit reminded you of him. You know?
Yeah, for and, sure.
I'm trying to make sense out of things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. How about you? Yeah. You had the barbecue and
yeah, we did a small barbecue on Saturday and we food trucked that at the car show and did okay. We're supposed to have another one this weekend, but it looks like we're gonna get rained out, so
again.
They're postponing that one. So who knows what we're gonna end up doing. I might actually get a weekend off.
That would be nice.
Right? Well, yeah. It won't be a weekend off. I've got things I can go do. So
oh my goodness. Don't we all I just had a little bit of trouble starting to mount the run, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as you can see, I did manage to clear out, well, doesn't look like it, but.
No, you got quite a few things out of here, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, so that was good.
Yeah, a few more to go, so yeah, you're doing just fine.
I got threatened about the Psycho Sitka. I can only say it Psycho Sitka, otherwise, never mind. If I don't do it, I call it the other one, but they want more of them, and they want them exactly like that one, so.
Nice.
I hope it doesn't turn out to be a bear deal.
Nah.
Where they want their bear to look like Richard's, but Richard's is 600 pounds, and theirs was a Labrador.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think you'd be just fine.
So, anyway, that made me happy.
Yeah, for sure. That was a cool mount. I can't wait to do some more of those.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, the funny story was, and I'm just going to tell him, Richard, that, you know, he was talking to me about all the fancy mounts at the, you know, the SCI and, you know,
yeah,
the 10 deer in the tree with the flushing dog and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, dude, we could do, you know, whatever. Yeah. Just give us a picture and we'll make it similar.
Yep.
I said, the problem.
All it takes is money.
Yeah, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I said, you don't see it hanging here because unless I'm using you guys for an experiment, it's, which I was, you know. Because I wanted to, and let them see what we, and then give them something different, and expand the horizon a little.
Yeah, know? I'll bring you a picture of my blacktail tree. That way, they can see that we've done something cool before.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's only three though. It's not 10.
Yeah, but apparently these were like all like in the air on the branch. You know, like that's where they deer. In his area, roost in trees.
Well, yeah, they gotta go somewhere to get away from the corn feeders.
Exactly. That's why they never see Sasquatch. They never look up.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why you don't see deer no more. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're trying to, you know.
Exactly.
Gotta look up, you know.
Just like the old joke, you know, you hide an elephant in a cherry field. You paint his toenails red.
That's right. I don't know why that's funny. Because, no, you blow my mind when you say stuff like that because I'm always, you know, doing that conjective thinking, reasoning, or whatever, despite my appearance. And I'm going, wow, when Larry was hunting elephants, he was telling me, and other people have said this, that they're so big that they literally, you know, there they are, and you're not, you know.
Yeah.
They're almost invisible even though they're standing right there because they're so big.
Yeah,
you know. So that's where my mind went when you said that. I don't know, just put it there.
Yeah.
You know, just you won't see it. you know, till it stomps you to death or something.
Pretty simple, best form of camouflage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, we're creeping up on show week. We're about what's today, the 9th?
So it's like 16 days or like something?
15 days till I got to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. coming in quick. I'm almost ready, hopefully.
Yeah. Now, see, I saw some comment on Facebook trying to mount your stuff. We mounted ours months ago because we just don't have time.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, one of mine won't be ready probably till the August one now due to circumstances out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had that one window to make that mold and then it...
Yeah.
Then we learned all about sulfur content in molds, which who knew?
Yeah, exactly.
But now we know.
Yep, we do. But yeah, I got, I think... A couple of them are done, so
I'm but you're all set up. I mean,
I'm coming in a little hot, so we'll see what happens.
Coming in hot, yeah.
I might be a little bit over amorous, but
Katie says that about you all the time.
Boy, you have no idea.
Over amorous.
But yeah, you know, I figured the only way
throw your back out.
I've been there, done that.
Sweat.
The only way I'm going to get 100 hours in on my mounts is if I do 12 mounts. So.
That's it, man. You know, I don't know, man. You know.
Uh huh.
Speaking of that, we got a good guest today.
Yeah.
And got several good ones lined up until we do our book report.
Yep.
Now the problem is, where did I put Joe's book?
That's a good question. Last time I saw it was on your desk, but that didn't mean anything.
I know, but I'm pretty sure it's still there in the main slot that I had it, but I might have been smart.
Yeah.
Because Rudy claims that my mugshot of Joe, he saw it, so I have proof that I had it.
Yeah.
And he even read it, and then, your pal, Jailbird Joe. And he said that I put it in the second drawer over there on my desk.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no. Why? Because everything's different now.
Yeah.
But anyway, today we have Ron Anderson, and he's coming to the show. And,
yep. One of the real OGs.
Real OG, and for you guys that don't know, outstanding upland guy, or bird guy all around.
And hell, great taxidermist all around, period.
Yeah, and then a great judge. One of my, you know.
Yeah, and just an all-around hell of a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and tough, you know.
Yeah, he's been dealing with a few things, so I'm really looking forward to talking to him today.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get to him in just a few minutes. But
anyway.
Yeah. What else do we got going on, Chuck? We're like I said, we're gearing up for the show.
I can't even believe it's already.
I know.
Here.
We got a dinner to cook and two lunches and.
And then someone volunteered us for a seminar.
Yeah, I don't know who that was.
Moron.
Yeah, we got 3 hours to do a 20-minute seminar. So.
Yeah, I know. Reminded me of the day when they had the two-day one, and they had Mike, and they forgot.
Yeah.
So it's like 11 in the morning, and he's done.
Yeah.
Now what?
Uh-huh. So, yeah, we'll be doing a wild pig seminar mounting on one of my new prototype mannequins.
Yep.
So that's exciting. We'll also be using one of my prototype noses and my prototype teeth. So,
yep,
it's a prototype.
It's an all-around prototyping situation.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Hopefully, we don't scare everybody off. But
we do that. Did you see the big ear liner thing about the expensive?
Yeah, I still never read it, but yeah, I did see it.
So I go, I'm gonna learn a lesson from Matt, and I'm not gonna jump in with both feet, but. I go, you can't hurt them more if you hit them with the 2x4.
Yeah.
You know, with their name on it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their method of doing things. And some people are just now realizing that Bondo is now 50 or 60 bucks a almost gallon.
Almost gallon. In fact, Mike and I were breaking down the ounces and stuff, and it's even lesser than we thought, you know.
Yeah.
For 3 liters is less than we thought. You know, and which explains when you open the can, it's half empty.
Yeah, it's like opening a bag of chips.
But
charge you for half the thing of air.
Well, and this is what I say to, like I was telling you, like when I was a Bondo guy and all that crap.
Yeah.
I was an airliner guy, And I got conned into the Bondo at the circus, you know. And then when Mike got a hold of me, it did take me a little bit to reverse.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, for sure.
There's... But there's no way it's faster to use Bondo than it with our system.
The only way I could see it being faster is if you've been doing it for 50 years and you know exactly the steps, exactly what you got to do, exactly how much you got to have on your measuring plate, and exactly how quick you got to get it in the ear. Just like it'd be like us trying to switch to Bondo and saying ear liners take less time. It's going to take less time for us to do liners than somebody learning how to do them.
I get it. But what I would see here in my shop is, it depending on the time of year,
yeah,
the catalysts will be slower or faster.
No,
or,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
And exactly.
All kinds of variants. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, I just don't like it because of the, man, you can tell Bondo ear from, to the trained eye.
Yeah, I mean, some people can do a real clean set of Bondo ears. Don't get me wrong. But, it's.
I've seen, I mean, even Mike says he's seen a couple of guys do really nice feathered edge and, mm-hmm. at least at the show, but you wonder what they're every, you know.
No, for sure. But yeah, I mean, to each their own. Yeah. If you're going to learn to do liners, get the good ones.
But the one comment I said about them curling and pulling, that's true.
Yeah.
100%. And the transition from the earbud to the, I just don't, you know.
I don't know. But whatever. To each their own, like I said.
Yeah. Well, there's all different ways to, I mean, like, always, whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to be suggestive only.
Yeah.
I mean, and God knows I get lots of suggestions on my phone about what I can go do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I enjoy those for some reason because all depends how you look at things.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
You know, if that's all you got. Dude, I survived Catholic school, man. Yeah. That is nothing, man.
Uh-huh.
You know? I was in a biker, you know, you can't scare me.
Yeah.
I've been married twice, like that line on the movie.
Yeah.
We'll never break them.
Uh-huh. But yeah, just like anything else, everybody's allowed their own opinion. Just don't force your opinion on somebody else, right? I mean.
Well, it seems a lot of that's going on in the real world.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like anything else, there's no room to be an asshole. I mean, we're all in this shit together. We all need to be encouraging and supportive and lift each other up, because I mean, without that, we're all just gonna be in battle and everybody's gonna be against each other and this industry is gonna die.
Yeah, I just it all boils down to, you know, again, what we do, we're lucky to do what we love.
Yeah.
But and it's a skill, and I'm not gonna degrade what we do, but look at who's doing it, man. If it was that hard, I wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? We're not, we're got a really unique craft and we're really fortunate. Mm-hmm. However, we're not like neurosurgeons.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to, trying to make a point. We're not brain surgeons and we don't know it all.
No. Nope.
We'll never know it all. And then that seems to be where some people seem to get a comfort level.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just where they stop, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why Joe is always pushing us to strive for, if you meet the goal, like you got some definite goals, which are really good. And then, but when you meet those goals, then it's, you got to take another turn and go, you know, well, God, you're doing so many, shit, I can't even keep up. Now I'm getting a headache because you got this goal, that goal, the other goal.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do them like one major goal at a time, but you got like five. Right now,
They say I've always been an overachiever. I don't know. Maybe I'm just dumb. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what I was going to admit, but
yeah,
I always said I was too stubborn to give it up.
Yeah,
for real. I got it in my craw, and I was going to learn it. And if I could only learn, you know, book learning, I could have been a doctor or something.
Yeah,
but I couldn't stand it.
It'll happen. I mean, we do what we know, right?
Right, and then we finish it, as Joe would say.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you know. Well, that's what we do when we run into something like the moose.
Yeah.
We did what we know, and now we got to finish it because that was a beyond a jackpot.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be glad when that one's out of here.
Yeah, but I think we solved our main problem.
Yep, I think so.
Yeah. But it's still going to look like it.
Yeah. There's only so many things you can do, right?
Well, you can't fix something that's broke by nature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So all they can do is, like you said, get the tines lined up how they, the brow, and then.
Yeah, well, at least they're both even. They're not like.
Well, that's what I want. Like the Addams Family, I want it to rotate.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know.
But, absolutely.
We're wandering a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
I think we're probably ready. We can make our phone call if you'd like.
I would like to. I think I got it.
Let me switch you over here.
Look, I got it right here.
Ooh, and we're ready and all, everything?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, let me move this over here so we can both talk.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. We're nothing but consistently wrong.
When we're a two-person show...
Yeah,
we don't have a producer to stop the camera and restart the camera.
Yeah. Those would come in handy, you know that?
Yeah.
I was watching Slash's new video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making the song. And they actually had a guy that points for when the guy to come in here and there.
Yeah.
And I go, oh.
All right, well, let's give Mr. Ron a call.
We're going to give Ron a call right now. Care to do something with that? No, what did I do?
Nothing. You're fine.
Why is it not ringing?
Hang on. Ron, you there?
Are you there?
There you are. I hear you now.
We hear you now. We had a technical error on my part. I plugged the wire in upside down, as is my custom.
There you go.
Well, how you doing today, Mr. Ron Anderson?
Oh, okay.
The king of the kapows.
What?
Hanging in there.
Good deal. We were just saying it's like 15 days till the show, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on my, been working on my pieces all week, actually.
Well, that's good. Cool. We're going to be happy to see you, you know?
Yeah, same here.
So you feeling all right before we jump into this feet first? How you doing?
Oh yeah, I'm okay. I'm a little less than I was last year. My lung function's down to 14 freaking percent.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. But
well, you
still
sound good.
Yeah, you sound good. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. As long as I'm sitting, I'm doing okay.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, remember that guy, it's better to look good than to feel good. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the premise of what we've been diving into the last few episodes is we're trying to get people's stories recorded, you know, what got them into taxidermy, what their journey was, like that, you know. How did you
okay.
get your start? So why don't you start with that, if you don't
okay,
mind.
Okay, well, I started at 11 years old, 1969. I was really into birds as a kid, young kid, and I was drawing them and BB gunning them and, you know, studying them. And I really wanted a mounted quail. I was really, you know, quail are my favorite birds of all time. And I just wanted a mounted one. And at the time, there was only one real known taxidermist in Reno, and that was the Chet and Lynx Piazzo, the outdoorsman. They were a famous outdoor hunting store.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a little weekend show, and but they wanted $100 in 1969 for a mounted quail. And you know, for an 11-year-old kid in 1969, it might as well have been a million.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Her famous line then was, first I got to get $100.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So friends of my folks, they bought me a the Shooter's Bible Home Taxidermy Guide for my birthday.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it was, when it came out, it was already antiquated techniques. You know, it was... Mm-hmm. It was showing to do a shoulder mount with a, you know, Excelsior, and then clay over that and using a real skull. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, two before frame and all that. And so I actually did deer like that.
Wow.
And pounded out lead for the ear liners. Yeah, some of my earlier work was pretty sad. But,
well,
we all got
I started into it. And my first mount, of course, was a quail.
Mm-hmm.
And I used a plastic Easter egg for the body. And straightened out paper clips for the wires and a couple of beads I borrowed from Ma for the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It was, a joy to behold.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I started. And I about a year into it, I went to, found out there was another taxidermist in town, and had my mother bring me over to his shop one morning. And I walked in. Now, I'm like 11 years old. And I walk into this guy's shop and ask, I told him, hey, I'm just starting taxidermy. I'd like to, ask you a few questions. And he turned around, waved his arm right up my nose darn near, and told me to get the H out of his shop.
You're kidding me.
Wow.
No. And I, ooh, okay. So
wow.
I didn't talk to another taxidermist, not one, until 1995.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah, and I just started in on my own, and I thought, well, those guys are some real a-holes. I don't want anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just developed my own system, which I still use today. And I ran into a friend of mine about 95, and he was just starting into taxidermy, and he showed me some breakthroughs, and I hadn't even seen, a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
The only two catalogs I had were Jonas Brothers and the Northwestern.
School of Soul.
The Chieftain brand.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my two catalogs I ordered from. And, I had started carving all my own mannequins and everything. And anyhow, so. But he said, oh, yeah, man, they got competition. You should go to a show. You do good work. And I go, they have them? And he said, yeah. And so he gave me the number of the California show.
Mm-hmm.
And I called up
Jim Silva or somebody.
Jim Silva, yeah. And, he gave me all the rundown and was real friendly and everything. And I thought, well, shit, man, maybe I'll go and, see what the deal is. And so I put together some birds and four mounts and took them in there and hit Redding and walked into that show. And as you remember, mm-hmm. back then, the show was huge.
Right. Huge.
I mean, there was, probably 300 plus pieces in there.
Wow.
And most of them were birds.
Mm-hmm.
I just about turned around and walked out. I said, what am I doing here?
Because
mm-hmm. I was walking down aisles of all these fantastic water scenes. And,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, holy moly. It was a whole new world opening up to me. I was in shock.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, but I entered them and I did pretty good. I got a best of category and I was runner up best of show against Stefan.
Wow.
No way. Really?
Yeah. They,
yeah. I forgot he used to compete all the time back then.
Yeah. Yeah. And, he come up after the awards ceremony and introduced himself. Stefan did and said, mm-hmm. you almost took my trophy.
Mm-hmm. Stefan's quite a character, he really is. He's a pleasure, he's a funny guy too, hell of a musician too,
so. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And so I I started in and I had been doing a lot of commercial work for friends and stuff part-time. And And after that, I started doing work for all the birds for animal artistry for my boy.
I remember that, yeah.
And
you worked for them.
Yeah, well, I was just doing a part-time still then. Mm-hmm. I was working at the highway department. So, you know, it got, though, to where I'd work, you know, especially in the winter, I'd work a 12-hour shift plowing snow. Mm-hmm. Then I'd come home and have to work another 4 to 6 hours mounting birds to, mm-hmm. you know, get Boyce's targets done. And mm-hmm. that was burning me out. So something had to go.
Yeah. And I remember asking you about how it was at Boyce's when I was a young, enthusiastic, you know, dumbass. And you told me it was probably the easiest money you made at taxidermy. I don't know if you remember saying that or not, but
I do, because once I left the highway department and went to work for Boyce, it was easy, really. I mean, you just showed up to work, you worked your 8 hours, you went home, you had your weekends, your holidays. You know, I got good bonuses. He really treated me well, because I filled a really needed niche in the shop.
Right.
Which was finish work. Their mm-hmm. finish work was really rough when I got there. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I shit, within a month, I was the
guy.
Yeah, I was the finish department supervisor. Wow. And, and so, yeah, I, you know, anything that I needed, any ideas that I had a full, you know, full run to do. And the supply guy, you know, anything I needed, I just told him, and he didn't even ask questions. He just said, okay, how much do you want? And,
wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was, you know, like I said, Mike treated me really good, and I had no issues whatsoever, you know, doing anything I wanted. And it was really a huge time in my development, you know, as far as taxidermy and techniques and stuff. Yeah. And
well, yeah. Yeah, I had sat through many of your seminars at the shows and was loving your blue foam quail heads and everything, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And taking the legs out, I go, that, there you go. Freaking genius. Why are we screwing around with this, you know, and less bug food, you know, and right.
So, well, yeah, that was, you know, I wasn't one of the anatomy guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I that was all the technique I came up with to get to the fun part mm-hmm. as quickly as easy as I could. Mm-hmm. You know, the fun part is posing and grooming. Mm-hmm. All that other stuff was dirty and yucky and crappy. And,
right.
You know.
And you're the first guy with your neck. I go, now there's another genius idea. If I want the head on the body, I'll just not put a neck in there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. It didn't have anything to do with anatomy. And
yeah.
To be honest, I mean, there's guys like Pat Rummins who do the wireframe method with mm-hmm. Excelsior balls. Mm-hmm. You know, his mounts don't have anything to do with anatomy either. And in birds, you can get away with that because mm-hmm. of the feathers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a furred animal that shows the interior anatomy through the hair pattern.
Right, right. Yeah, you could have a beer can in there and no one would know, really, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I ever did that. But, but you could.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
well, I used to say that you could mount a muskox on a 30-gallon barrel with some rebar rod in for late.
Yeah, maybe so, huh?
And you wouldn't hardly know, yeah.
Right, exactly. And so then let me ask you this question, because you were the one judge that saved me from quitting competing, in a way, with the birds when you judged my pheasant that you and you said you still remembered that. But that seems to me like that was like in only 97 or something, or 98. When did you judge the California show the first time?
I can't remember.
Didn't mean to stump you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Chuck's always bringing the hard questions.
I've judged it 3 or 4 times.
Right.
Over the years. Yeah. And I can't remember, but it was back in there somewhere.
Yeah. So you progressed kind of quickly, you know, if your first show is like 95, Because I know it wasn't like in 2000, I don't think, when you right. did well, that, because of my own history with where I was at the time.
Yeah.
I was in the between 95 and 99, something like that, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I've been doing it for, 25 years or so, and I started competing, and I had my award of excellence in a year
mm-hmm.
from wow. NTA, three shows. And I was,
I remember one of the stunningest pieces I saw was, I think there was 7 quail on a branch or something.
Oh, the 5 quail.
5 quail. Okay. Well,
yeah.
If you know me in math, you'll understand. Yeah. Could be 5, could be 7, could be 3. Yeah. I don't know. And I remember every attitude was different. And my God, I was just like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Every quail I get in is like, there's one leg, one wing on the other side. And it was only shot with one BB, of course. There's no skull,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, as far as that goes, I've never had a perfect bird, mm-hmm. Guys talk about, I need to get a perfect bird for competition. I think, what?
Mm-hmm.
every bird I've got right now that I'm working on for the show has replacement plumage on it somewhere.
Wow.
I do that as a rule, and because shit, there's the birds I get, just like you, mm-hmm. look like they were 10 gauged or.
Yeah.
I've even competed with roadkills.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like to say my first birds looked like frogs. And then as far as the anatomy goes, it's a good thing they had wires in them, because if you clip the wires, they'd, fall over backwards. Because the illusion when you don't know anatomy, where the knee looks like you, that's not where it attaches, by the way.
Yeah.
I learned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Stefan told me, just look at a chicken next, Just go to get a chicken. These guys have got all the simple ideas. And then I realized you learned it because you didn't know either. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Right?
Yep.
And that's how you learn to use a chicken for reference.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the birds in your areas look like chickens, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't that easy way back when because, we didn't have the computers and the plethora of instant available reference.
Yeah. Right.
You used the Outdoor Life or Field and Stream or, little trim pictures from bird books, and that was it. And I talk to people these days about how fortunate they are to, mm-hmm. The younger taxidermists to mm-hmm. get started when they did, because, they just don't realize.
They don't know whose shoulders they stand on. That's my Joe Kish quote. Hence another reason for our episodes of as many as possible.
Yeah.
Before the history's gone and it's lost,
Yeah,
and
that's
the struggles
true.
We had and everything, And it's true, right, Ron?
Absolutely. I mean, I went through, 3 or 4 years before I did a bird that actually looked like a bird. Mm-hmm.
What did it take you, like 100 birds or something, about?
What's that?
Seemed to me like everything was like around 100 things,
Oh, God. I would imagine easily,
Yeah.
And I remember my first fish mount. My folks made me set it outside because it was reeking so bad. I didn't know it had cheats in it.
Important safety tips like that, right?
Even the flies left it for, a while. It was just so bad.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. Your first freeze-dried fish head.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
Oh, my God. I just think, and the struggles and, And that Stefan can contort wire and make it look like it was nothing, I looked at my wire, they look like pretzels or so. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Some guys,
it's a different world now, and they're definitely lucky to have, you know, all the sharing and everything, you know, that goes on now.
Yeah, heck
with
yeah.
Information, because mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought up Jim Silva, because I'm gonna look him up, because he was he was probably the best president. I mean, sorry, other guys, but you know what I mean. That I think.
Well, I talk to him all the time. Actually, he calls.
Oh, really?
Is
he still doing it, or did he retire? Or
I don't think he's doing much taxidermy anymore. Mm-hmm. He still talks about it,
I'm gonna get his contact info from you if you don't mind. I'm gonna get him on. I dive into this, the more I start to remember all the OGs, you know, goes all the way back to 85 or something, the Pacific, you know what I mean? So,
Well, Randy Huffman, he's going to be at the show this year. Yep.
No way.
I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
That. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
That's so great. He's bringing a bird, he told me.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's been, he got into competing again. And last year, he moved to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's close to all those shows back there. And, he competed in Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri.
That guy's a gem. We used to have some real gentlemen in that. You know what I mean? Like, quality,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And while this sucker is sitting next to me, I was absolutely done. With all the headaches and all the this and the that, and then here I am.
Yep.
Back, you got drug my ass back, and then you were there, and then
honestly, you're the reason Chuck came back. I told him, Ron's there, and he said, well, son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, it's your fault I'm back, not Matt's, Ron.
Thanks
a lot. Ron.
I'll take that credit.
Thank you. No, he goes, Ron. I go, oh my God, Ron. Ron, if they could all judge like him on the, find something positive,
I got so busy, after I left Animal Artistry, I went to work for Gary up in Elko, mm-hmm. Gary Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back down and spent a couple of years with Greg Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started competing again a little.
Mm-hmm.
But then I left his shop and I opened my own, and I was so damn busy, I didn't have time to compete, Mm. So I was away from the show for like 8 or 10 years. And
And that damn survival thing,
It just, I didn't have the time, the will, or, even to work my own piece of shit.
Well, who had time for that when you're making a living? We always talk about that here on the show, but mm-hmm. there's a big difference between a guys that actually live with that, without some other job.
Absolutely.
And the guys that have the luxury of being able to put that kind of time. I had to pay my mortgage. Yeah. I had to mount 30 things a month, and finish them. No choice.
Well, I was paying off a really bad deal with my ex-fiance that
pretty much
drained my life. And
a habit of that, huh?
Yeah, I was paying that off, and, I had no time. And,
goodness.
Biggest mistake of my life.
I almost said something, but I'm not going to say it. The town you live in, other things are legal, and so if you only knew, you had invested your money somewhere else. So,
oh boy, yeah, yeah, I hear you there. Trust me, I guess decorum won't allow me to go any farther than that, but
I know, right? That's it, but I don't know. It is, we laugh because we laugh at ourselves because
you have to.
You have to.
Oh, shit, yeah, it's either laugh or you're gonna blow your head off,
right? Mm-hmm. Right,
and I'll do the laugh,
absolutely.
Yeah, you got to be able to laugh at yourself because the seriousness is there's no reason for, and we're not serious at the same time, if that
makes
any sense.
Well, it makes perfect sense.
We take our work seriously. We have a lot of pride in it, but at the same time, you know, yeah. we're not, I'm not freaking Leonardo da Vinci or somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hey, if you want to be right, you can be right. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
I don't even got the energy to argue no more. So,
yeah.
You know, no,
and working for yourself in a shop, man, that's the hardest time you're going to have, you know?
Right.
I was doing all those projects solo, Crocs and Big Bears and, and shit. And I was sorry for the.
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah. We're rated for.
okay.
We're on the internet. Nobody can hear us.
Yeah. Fornication and all that is. Matt made sure we got all the checks or something.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I tend to not have a filter. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just the work was.
Yeah, it started killing me with my discs and all that, and then luckily I got Matt, but I sink back all the time, you know. I used to hold the 400-point bull up with one arm and screw the antlers with the, you know what I mean? And
how the
hell did I do all that? Six days a week, too. You know, I mean.
Me too, yeah. Nowadays, I couldn't do that if I had to.
No.
You know.
Yeah, well, I'm luckily if you don't, you know, I mean. You found that your birds are, you know, you can. Bird guys are necessary, you know? I mean, they just are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
Yeah, now that I'm retired, you know, on disability and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, you know, I just started doing birds again. And I don't know, three years ago, I thought, you know, I'm going to go to the show again because I heard they were moving it out of Sacramento back into Placerville.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I like Placerville. I'll go there. Mm-hmm. And I went, and hardly anybody I recognized. It was, you know.
It's all new people. New
crowd. There was a few of the old ones, but not many. And, you know, but you know, and the show was way smaller than I remembered. And of course, it was right at the COVID.
Yeah. You know,
times.
Yeah, that made it kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's been like when we used to have it. You know what I mean?
No.
And when I was on the board, we'd have.
No.
Bigger than Pennsylvania, even. You know.
Well, yeah. I think the biggest mistake ever was leaving Reading.
Mm-hmm.
That particular venue, you know, all the guys from down south, Tony Finazzo and all, they griped about having to go so far, but yet they did it, you know.
Yeah, I did
every
it
year.
You know, me too.
And, yeah,
10 hours or whatever from Ojai.
Yeah.
Night,
yeah.
You know, or 2 days the way I drive now, but, you know, that's another story.
Yeah. It was just a nice venue, you know. We have a bar there, Lake Shasta.
Yeah. Yeah, everything. And then, I was telling Matt some of the stories when Leo would come in his Ferrari, you know what I mean? And the time the hooker was in the hallway and all that stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. They would probably not believe it, these youngsters, but we could get down.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we learned it from somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some hell good times there in that bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a hot little local bar. There was
there was a lot of action there.
Yeah, a lot of happenings.
Right? You know?
So,
yeah. Matt's looking at me laughing, you know. And,
I can imagine. Tricky.
Yeah. You know? And that's another reason to get the stories, you know. And even about, thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
Okay, that's fine. You had stepped in a pile the other day. My wife showed me on the competition deal. And that was my whole point. I kept telling Matt, I said, it wasn't supposed to be like this, you know? And,
you're okay.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't supposed to be 100 hours, right? And then in original Masters, it was just first, second, and third, not multiple ribbons, you know.
Right.
And all of that. And Open really was the professional division.
And now they put in like they're in the, you know what I mean? It's I don't know. It's all different.
Well, that whole thread I posted, there were so many guys that went off on other tangents that wasn't even part of my original topic.
You know? But I got what you were putting out, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's just, I was trying to remind them that there's integrity involved in competing, and that you're not just, you know, shopping for trophies.
Yeah, exactly.
Ribbon chasing, we call it on the
track. You know, it's like, if I always thought, if you got a breakthrough award on a piece, that piece is done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's done. And,
well, how many pats on the back do you need? I'll go ahead and take the hit, you know? Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
to feel good about your, you know, it's sad a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But it's, and if you, you know, I always thought that you always competed upward.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
exactly.
You take it to a state show, then you take it to nationals, then you take it to world, and then it's done, you know?
Right.
Just a matter of, I don't know, I thought that was common sense.
But, yeah, no, you would think, but sadly, that's a lacking quality anymore.
Yeah. It's the younger crowd doesn't think that way, or was just never.
I don't think they were taught that
way. Taught, you know, that way, mean? Right, and, right.
Or led by example, you know, because all the OGs are gone, you know, and Joe won't come back out here, you know, and of course they'd hate it if Joe judged, or you know what I mean, or because they get real criticism, you know what I mean, but
right.
Constructive criticism, but you know, he'll say, hey man, your neck's missing two vertebrae, you know, or whatever.
Oh yeah,
I remember a guy arguing with him once at the, I'm gonna digress, this is my custom, but the interesting thing is he had one piece in the open and one piece in the Masters, right? So his piece in the open had got a blue, right? That the piece in the Masters didn't get a blue. And it was the same guy sculpted both mannequins and all that. And in the Masters, he knocked them because the neck was broken, right? And then, but in the open, you can use any mannequin, right? You see what I mean? You don't have to fix it.
Right.
And the point Joel was saying was, he says, well, are you saying so-and-so sculpted it right? He says, no, I'm saying the neck's broken.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know who sculpted it or do I care, but, and he says, well, the point is, well, I got it for, he goes, yeah, because that's in the open.
Yeah.
Right? Now you're in the Masters, you're supposed to fix it, okay? You're supposed to know that stuff. You see what I mean? And it's gotten all away from all of that, you know? And
Yep.
And then if you give a guy a true critique, then he's taking off his coat to kick your ass or something, you know. And I always just kept my mouth shut and tried to take what I was told and work and look at myself, you know. You know what I mean?
You know, judging is it's kind of a double-edged sword, you know. It's pleasurable to help people, but you'll always have those that really have some adverse reaction to being judged and your critiques and stuff. And, you know, you got to take that with the good. But
I thought the point was to get critique. You know what I mean? And the assumption you deserve a blue ribbon or something.
Yeah.
You know, and. Again, maybe those guys are done. Like I said, they get to a point, and maybe that's where they're at. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. Yeah.
Because if you close your mind to learning, and then we are always punching each other in the arm in my shop, in Matt's shop, because you get lax, you get this, you get burnout. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of, you know,
crap
that get you down with this job. You know, it's not easy.
Yep.
You know?
Well, you know, I've been teaching a good friend of mine, Amber Dempster.
Yeah.
I've been working with her for, the last 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, she she'd been doing taxidermy for years and had taken a deer class with me and a bobcat class years ago. And a while back, she was complaining about her birds. And she said, I really want to get good at birds. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, just start working with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't charge her anything. I said, no, that's not the idea. I want you to work with me. We're gonna start mounting birds together. We're gonna get you, you know. I just wanted somebody to pass everything I had on to.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, it's that's been a great help to me, because it's actually sharpened my game again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. That's what was my point. It back to the show too, and all that. You know.
Yeah.
There we go again.
Yeah.
Got you back enthused, right? You know?
You know what? When I went back to that first show back in, I guess, 2020, after, I don't know, being gone since, well, the last time I was at the show was 2008 when I judged.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't been to the show for, like, you know, that long. And I still had the same kind of butterflies, the same excitement, you know, the same, oh, I wonder what the judge is going to do with my bird sort of deal that I, you know, always had when I started. And it was neat, you know, I enjoy that. And
last year when I went with Matt and I had actual fun, which I'd forgot that you're allowed to have fun, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And seeing people and the whole bit, you know, was just, that's what I was telling Matt. That's what it used to, you know, that's how we grew. That's how, you know what I mean? That's
just, yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. People. Yeah. That's what I, that's what kept me coming back. You know, after that first show, I was so pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Because I had been in the dark, you know, of the whole industry, basically, because of a bad experience as a youngster. And, you know, I guess I had PTSD from that.
Absolutely, you know. And well,
the shows were kind of a shit show there for a little bit. But you came back right at the right time, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I you know, I wasn't interested in going to Sacramento.
Yeah.
I just, when I found out they had moved the show to there, I thought, are you kidding me? You know?
No, well, you have different people that they get a idea and you can't talk them out of it. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get board members, cause it is a big jackpot once you get into that side of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, and as far as that goes, you know, my judging, I always tried to err on the lighter side, if you would.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to build up people as much as
exactly.
I could.
Well, it worked with me, sadly.
Yeah. And I just felt that better than, you know, we had those judges that you know, handed out 88s like they were Tic Tacs.
Right.
And you know, I never did that. I wanted to, you know, if they were that close, I'd give them a 90.
Mm-hmm. You right, know, yeah, 2 points. Come on, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I'd work with them and write stuff on their score sheet and do little drawings and do all I could to help them, you know, in the way I thought they needed.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's how it should be. I wish more people had that.
And and well, Frazier, even believe it or not, he said they got to remember that the Open's not the Masters.
Yeah.
And not saying to give a blue to every, you know what I mean, but don't be so stingy with the blue, you know what I mean. It's
oh yeah,
like, well, you said, if it's 2 points, come on, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah.
What's that, a nose thing or it's a, you know what I mean? It's not
exactly. And you know, that's one critique I gotta give against the newer judges. They really, well, A, they come in with their smartphones, and that's their entire way of judging.
Yeah.
Okay. They look at a bird, oh, okay, let's see a quail. And so they flip through the pictures on the internet of quail. And if they can't see that exact pose, well, it's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, birds, don't march by a single drum. They can do just about anything they want, any position they want to
absolutely
pose, you know. And
they really don't stand still to pose. Mm-hmm.
No. No, and
especially quail, you know.
Yeah, and so the these younger judges, they're a little too harsh, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, once they've gotten a big award or something, they don't feel like anybody else is worthy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I've been told by higher authorities than me. That's nothing worse than a guy with a new world title that becomes a judge the next, you know what I mean? And he's high uh-huh. off of that victory, and he judges to the world standard is the point.
Yeah.
Not that they're a bad person. That's not what I'm trying. God, I'll get in trouble again. What I'm trying to say is, in their mindset is that, right? But you're not at the world show.
Yeah.
It's not a world piece. You know. It's Oregon or, you know, Idaho or some, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the real deal is, too, they could take that world winner piece to the next state show and get a low first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, by a different judge.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that experience, too, where I've gotten anything from a best of show to a, to a second place.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's the nature of the game. Yeah.
And you got to take the good with the bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You always talk about reading reference and all. That's all crazy to me. It makes me insane. You know, I had to learn how they worked on the inside out to. You get what I mean? To know where leg bone's attached to the chin bone or whatever, you know?
Right.
Otherwise, they can't bend their neck, or otherwise they can't breathe, or otherwise they can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? So that, you know.
Well, I've had judges. I got a third place once in nationals on a strutting prairie chicken. Mm-hmm. And the judge told me, it's drummed everywhere. And I just cracked up. I said, man, I don't mount just on a solid mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's fiberfill under there to give me shape and loft and all that. And
right,
go,
right. That's
how would you judge
that.
Pat Rummins?
Yeah. Right.
And he kind of looked at me like, I said, you know, Pat Rummins, the wireframe, big balls of Excelsior underneath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you say his bird was drummed too? He's world champion. And he just kind of looked at me with a
puzzled
blank stare.
Yeah.
That was it, you know.
Yeah, I've stumped a few judges like that. They don't, you know.
They get that constipated look and can't.
Yeah,
move past
I get.
It.
I call it the Stassi look. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah.
Get that Stassi look where, and then they go right back to whatever. Okay, disregard that. It doesn't fit in the frame of science or something. So why
you ask
a stupid, dumb question like that?
Yeah. You know, you can check for drumming on deer ears and maybe in the armpits, the obvious spots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But birds, there's no reason to feel
why are you touching them anyway?
You know, because the
greasy-ass fingers, man.
Yeah, it's what the feathers represent from the outside.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the shape.
It's all about the shape is what you told me. The shape. See, I still remember. 30 years later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See what I mean? Once in a while, it sinks in with some of these dim-witted guys like me. Yeah. You know, it's about the shape, Chuck.
Absolutely,
doesn't matter what you know. It's shaped like this, and blah blah blah. Oh yeah, heavy man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I like the Pat Rummins and stuff. I went to one of his seminars and watched him do that wireframe and the balls of Excelsior. And I thought, well, that's kind of what I'm doing with my fiberfill.
Right.
You know?
And you add your tweezers, and that's where it looked like you go, this is how I make my leg, right? And you put it in and put some here, and we'll put some there, and a little here and there, and then poof. Now you got this poof.
Yeah,
little quail that looks real.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that's how you got the, you took the mystery of the arch of the back clean out of it for me. It's so simple, you know?
Yeah.
And I had such a hard, God, it's isn't funny you remember stuff you had trouble with. It's interesting. You know what?
Oh, yeah.
It sticks in your brain.
Yeah, hell, I look at stuff I have trouble with every day.
Well, yeah, man. Like, man and I, we like to say we bust our ass to be mediocre, so that's how we roll, you know?
You know, yeah, well, we're all mediocre when it comes to trying to recreate nature.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, every bird I do, I like for about a day, and then it sucks.
Right.
Well, I'm glad I'm not alone then.
I can't stand it. It's like, oh, man, I see every little flaw. And
it never gets better, does it? You know?
No. You know, you can try again the next day, and you'll do a nice bird, and the day after that, no.
Mike always told me, too, don't beat yourself up. Well, we do anyway, but do better on the next one is what he always says. Just
do better
next time. And then you do, and then you're all happy for about a week, and then...
Until you start finish work.
Until you start to finish work, and then, you know.
Well, you know, some guys get that same thing from golf.
Oh, yeah.
We just do it with, you know, taxidermy.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is what I wanted to do when I was 11 years old, and I'm... You know, 65. So,
yeah, heck
yeah. I wanted to do it since I was 5 or 6, and same deal. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that's what I wanted to do, but it turned out to be that's what I wanted to do. I just knew I couldn't figure out how they made them, you know, animals look like that, and how do you do it, and you know what I mean, and might as well have been freaking rocket science to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the early 70s and all, I was. You know, like I said, I was a little terror with my BB gun, and and I'd mount everything I shot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And it's, you know, it was still pre-76, so it really wasn't against the federal laws yet.
Yeah.
And I was mounting, you know, sparrow hawks and flickers and finches, and and I'd sell them at this gun show, local gun show in Carson every year.
Hmm.
I'd get a little table, and you know, I'd sell them for like, you know, 15-20 bucks a piece.
Wow.
And, you know, for a kid back then, that was some major bucks.
Oh, that was good money, you know.
Yeah.
And because you remember gas and all that in the early 70s, and I had a friend of mine on, you know, from the day, because another preference of the show is all self-made guy, you know what I mean, who ended up president of this or doing that, you know what I mean. And all of us were both voted most likely to end up in prison or whatever it was, you know, in our high school class, in my case, you know what I mean? And he was voted most likely to be a drug dealer and this and that. You get what I mean? And we were all the losers, right? And then somehow, you know, here we are, you know. So all self-taught, all self-made.
Mm-hmm.
And all interesting stories, you know. And I think the cell phone is the death of everything to me now, you know, with the interaction with people and all of that. So,
oh man, I call them phone zombies.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it is, it's and I see it all the time. There'd be a group of people sitting around, nobody interacting with each other. They all got their noses on the phones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm looking going, wow, you know, that's, there's something really dastardly going on there, you know. It's
and because when, again, real quick about this, because we're gonna wrap it up here in a couple of minutes, but we were forced at our ages, Ron, to interact with other, you know, you know what I mean, like
oh, yeah.
In school, you talk to every, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
all the little different groups, the jocks and the eggheads and the bad boys or whatever, you know, and everybody knew everybody, and it was way different, you know.
Well, you had to have some social skills.
Yeah,
right.
And these kids nowadays, you know, you go through a drive-thru and they hand you your whatever you got, and that's it. They don't say anything.
Yeah,
no, especially like, the ones with the pink hair.
And you know, there's just no social skills anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, Ron, if you want to screw them up when they put the money in your hand, keep your hand out and look at them.
Yeah.
And they won't know what, like, they won't know what to do, because I was just talking to Frey yesterday about it. I learned my first cash register was the old NCR with the push the thing and the little 5 cent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you had to do multiple, like if it's $1.25, you had to push three things and all that, and you know what I mean? And they'll put more money in your hand.
Yeah.
You know? Because they, you know, you can really stump them pretty easily, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anyhow,
I'm sure.
But it's sad, really, is what it really is, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, you know, and I suppose, I don't know, maybe that's what our parents were saying about us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I don't know. Like I developed my social skills by learning how to run really fast when I fucked up, you know.
Yeah.
With crowds of people chasing me because I had no filter either. Like, man, you know what I mean? And I go, oh, yeah. don't say that, you know?
Yeah.
Put that in a book for not to say to the football players or whatever
important
it was.
Safety tip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Safety tip. Well, Ron, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Yeah,
and
great one.
Really good episode. And we're looking forward to seeing you at the show. And
for sure. Can't wait to see you guys.
Yeah, we'll see you.
As always.
I know there's going to happen to know. I heard a rumor that there might be some good food.
We'll see.
For the banquet.
Know.
I don't know.
The guy
could. Yeah, you know, I heard that rumor too.
Yeah, well, I heard he's a. Yeah, like he said he's an asshole to work for.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm pretty sure that's the only reason they keep me on the board, but I'll take it, I guess.
But I have been prospecting. I did one real barbecue with him, and I got a hat and a shirt, but no apron
nice.
Yet.
Yeah.
I had, and I could only do the bread. That was my job, cutting the bread, you know? So
nice.
You got to earn the top rocket.
Yeah, show. You do. You got to prospect, you know? You can't just go right onto the meat line, you know? So,
well, that stuff's been top-notch so far.
Well, thank you, sir.
Everything I've had.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love to hear that.
Yeah. Well, all right, Ron. Thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thank
know?
You so much.
Well, thank you, guys.
And I'll text you for Silva's information because, you know, he can enlighten people on the forming of the whole deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Absolutely. You bet.
Yep. All right.
You bet.
See you in 15 days.
Okay, man.
Have a good one. Thank you,
thank
sir.
You so much again, Ron. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you guys too.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a guy.
Absolutely.
14% lung capacity, and he sounds great.
Yeah, they don't make them too many more like that guy anymore.
No, and then see, this is going to go like one to the next and help remember other people to have, because forming the deals and all that, and what was the other guy, the other Italian guy? Not Jim. Oh, God, why can't
Jim.
I call him Marinara.
Yeah.
I can do that because I'm Italian, too.
Absolutely.
Jim Marinara, what a character.
Yeah.
Hilarious, you know?
Yeah, he's a good guy, too. I haven't got to talk to him a whole bunch, but the couple times I did, he was definitely fun.
Well, and as Ron's reminding me, see, it was competitive, but it used to be fun, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wasn't all about, you know, your score and all of that, you know? I mean, and...
cliques have a definite way of taking over things and putting the shit in the shit sandwich.
They do.
Yeah.
And that's why I like it. Well, I don't want to get in I heard that if you're like in a motorcycle club
mm-hmm.
or any club, once you get past a certain number, then it starts break, you know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it needs to be 8 guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or in 12 maybe, you know, and then other than that, it starts to click up.
Mm-hmm.
And
100%.
That's what it is. And then, but the main thing is keeping an open mind is, again, you know, just as like there's egos in everything. And,
hell yeah, there is
way egos, but just tap, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just be grateful you don't have a real job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
My customers will tell me, oh, I thought this is a real job. I go, well, it's a hard job.
Yeah.
And it's a job, but it's not a real job. I said, real job's what you got.
Yeah.
Having to get up and go into some hideous place with mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's all people-y out there.
Yeah, people-y, and then they talk to you, and then, mm-hmm. or worse, they tell you what to do.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's Jim's number right there.
Oh, he sent it.
He did.
Oh, man.
All right, Chucky. Well, you better go to work for the day. I think you got a washing machine guy out there banging away on your dryer. So.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess then I'm ready, and hopefully I'll put together a dip. But like I said, I got in a little funk, but that'll happen when you lose a nephew, I guess.
Absolutely. You'd be weird if you weren't messed up a little bit.
Thank you, man, because I get hard on – this guy will tell you how hard I am on making myself work. You know, I got too good at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know how to not do it, you know. So anyway, I'm learning balance.
Oh, yeah.
Even at my age.
You have to.
Yeah. Well, all right, Matt, we'll talk us out of here. This is another fantastic episode.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for tuning in again to another episode of Off-Centered Outdoors Podcast. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and, of course, YouTube. And check us out on social media at Butchershop Taxidermy, at Ojai_Valley_Taxidermy. And
and then we'll be taking a show on the road in 2 weeks.
Allegedly, hopefully we'll have time to.
God, I hope, you know, I really hope we do and have some, you know, we just got to make a time to sit down for one out. No, I don't know how when you're prepping for the.
We're going to be a little bit busy, but I think we'll be able to get at least one down.
Or we should record our seminar. How about that?
Yeah, we might have to have somebody run the camera, but I'm sure we can do
the
that.
The one who's not going to be there because he's got pneumonia or...
he's got the Hershey squirts or whatever he's doing.
Well, mostly he's rectocranial inverted.
That does happen.
So, anyway.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, and we'll
see
you
on the next one.
Next week.
Be good.